Coming up, Lucky Severson on churches opposing the high interest charges of payday lenders.
It's predatory lending. They're picking off the most vulnerable. They're stealing from the people who can least afford to be stolen from.
Also, Judy Valente on the Battle of Mossville, Louisiana. Homeowners trying to fight the huge new chemical plant going up next door.
Major funding for Religion and Ethics News Weekly is provided by the Lilly Endowment, an Indianapolis-based private family foundation dedicated to its founders' interest in religion, community development, and education. Additional funding also provided by Mutual of America, designing customized individual and group retirement products. That's why we're your retirement company.
Welcome, I'm Bob Abernethy. It's good to have you with us. This week, President Obama visited New Orleans to help mark the city's journey to recovery from Hurricane Katrina after 10 years. He met residents of the Lower Ninth Ward, one of the areas most hurt by the storm. Obama highlighted government efforts to rebuild New Orleans neighborhoods and said more investment at all levels is needed to protect communities from natural disasters brought about by climate change. In other news, 50 Protestant and Catholic leaders sent a letter to members of Congress urging them to support the Iran nuclear deal. Among them were the head of the National Council of Churches and leaders from several denominations. The signers said they were called to be peacemakers and that the deal would help avert a war in the Middle East. On Friday, President Obama held a webcast meeting with North American Jewish leaders to seek their support for the agreement. In Austria, the decomposing bodies of 71 migrants were found inside a truck near the Hungarian border, raising more fears about Europe's escalating migrant crisis. The bodies were found as a European Union conference about migrants was held in Vienna. German Chancellor Angela Merkel expressed shock at the deaths and urged more cooperation among European countries to address human trafficking. Just last month, more than 100,000 migrants crossed into EU nations. This year, an estimated 300,000 have entered Europe by sea. Here in the U.S., preparations are well underway for Pope Francis's visit next month, which includes stops in Washington, New York, and Philadelphia. The U.S. ambassador to the Vatican said the Pope will likely address a range of issues, including immigration, the family, economic inequality, and the environment. Meanwhile, inmates at a Philadelphia prison Francis plans to visit are building him a special chair to sit on when he comes. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, has announced that it will stay in the Boy Scouts, just a month after suggesting it could break away. The church had raised concerns when the Scouts lifted a ban on openly gay Scoutmasters, even though religious groups are not required to choose gay leaders. About 20% of all Boy Scouts are Mormons. Now, a Lucky Severson report on the billion-dollar business of payday loans, the cash many poor people need quickly, even though the eventual cost in interest payments can be enormous. In Alabama, some churches are trying to help the borrowers.
Fight back! Fight back!
Birmingham, Alabama. Fight this is a demonstration back. Against the state's payday lenders. You know, those stores that offer fight short-term back. Loans at exorbitant rates, most often to poorer people who couldn't get loans from banks or credit unions.
Stop the scam!
There are nearly 1,000 in Alabama alone, four times as many as there are McDonald's, in a state that has the third highest poverty rate.
For those who are in need, it's an injustice, and that's why we're here.
It's predatory lending. They're picking off the most vulnerable. They're stealing from the people who can least afford to be stolen from.
Reverend Shannon Webster is pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in Birmingham. He is an outspoken critic of payday lenders.
Hello, Alabama.
Earlier this year, President Obama traveled to Birmingham to underscore his concern that payday lending is targeting and trapping the most vulnerable. He met with faith leaders, including Reverend Webster.
There's a moral and ethical injunctions starting back in the Old Testament, going all the way into the New Testament church. There are injunctions against lending at interest in exorbitant ways.
Payday lenders are not only an Alabama phenomenon. Nationwide, each year, about 12 million Americans spend more than $7 billion on payday loans. According to a study by the Pew Charitable Trusts, the average borrower takes out 8 loans of approximately $375 and spends $520 in interest. But few states are as saturated with these storefront lenders as Alabama. Carolyn Foster is with the Greater Birmingham Ministries.
You will find them in low-income areas, neighborhoods, where a person can just walk across the street and there will be 5 or 6 on one block sometimes. It sickens me to see them.
You can't see the Taco Bell for the Cash Express sign.
Sherry Saunders was 8 years in the military, attended college. She and her husband are unemployed, have 2 handicapped children. They survive on a $654 disability check and food stamps, and then they scavenge tin cans and scrap metal to get by.
My lights are being turned off. My water was already turned off. And I saw the flashing sign that you can pay back in 30 days.
That was 4 years ago. She borrowed $254, still owes that amount, and continues to make payments. She says she has paid $2,000 in interest so far.
They will not allow you to make partial payments. And if you can't make the full payment, then they initiate the process of coming and getting your goods because it's a secured loan. So they want your lawnmower, your TV.
Sherry Saunders' loan was secured by collateral, by her possessions, like her truck. But most payday loans are secured with a post-dated check.
We see people all the time who come to our organizations in need of food, clothing, utility assistance, and if you dig a little deeper, you'll find that they are coming to us for those kind of services because they had to pay off the predatory loan first.
Well, basically, I came here because, I needed some shoes for my job.
Clarence Bell Jr. is a truck driver. He took out a payday loan, then another one to pay off the first, and then another, and so on.
Yes, that's what I basically had to do, rob Peter to pay Paul and slap Bill in the face.
Borrow Smart Alabama is an umbrella group of about 300 payday lenders who contend that people like Clarence are fortunate to have instant money available when they need it. Max Wood is a Borrow Smart president.
They don't want to bounce a check and pay $40. If they get their power turned off, it's going to cost them anywhere from $100 to $200 to get the power turned back on. They can come here and pay $17.50, and they walk out of here with $100. Or they can pay 5 times that much and walk out of here with $500.
Well, it's easy to say quit borrowing money, but when you got your life's going to get cut off, your car needs to be worked on, you got to need food to eat, your children got to go back to school, what else I can do?
There's a case to be made that the working poor are probably better money managers than those who are quite well off, precisely because they have to be just to get by.
One common complaint is that when the payment is late, the lender can make life miserable.
One loan company, they write my job, they call my mom, they call my friends, and what it does is it breaks down. It's almost pretty much like a public embarrassment to you.
And we do get references.
From their family.
From their family or whoever they give. But we use those simply to say if we can't get directly in touch with the customer, then we'll call the family member and say, look, we need to talk with so-and-so.
In Alabama, payday lenders are restricted from charging more than 17.5% interest. But that's for the term of the loan, which is often only 2 weeks and rarely longer than 30 days. If the loan is not paid on time, the compounded interest annually can total more than 450%. Faith leaders and advocacy groups have petitioned the legislature to restrict the loan industry, but so far the lenders have the louder voice.
Not only the loudest voice, they have the loudest money. They have I've said they have more money than God, and lobbyists too.
You have a lot of clout. You give money to a lot of the legislators, and you have a voice with them.
Well, certainly, and they do as well.
We have a moral voice to bring to this discussion and to bring to this work. And so it is our calling as people of faith to step in, and as some scriptures say in the Christian tradition, to stand in the gap.
Wood says there's another argument in favor of payday stores, a 2013 study by Auburn University, that when these stores are forced out, there is an increase in petty larceny. One of the authors is Professor of Finance John Jehara.
How do we explain that? Well, it's somewhat speculation. It may mean that people get desperate for short-term money needs, and they do resort to petty larceny. They steal a TV, a computer to sell quickly to get the money.
But it's the awful place in which so many people, like Sherry Saunders, find themselves that concerns faith leaders.
As I was told, it is my responsibility to make sure I can pay my bills, and if I was any kind of mother, I would have.
One thing churches are pushing here and across the country is underwriting loans to enable borrowers to pay off all their payday obligations through a credit union. In Birmingham, it's called Lighten Up Loans Program. It was launched with a $25,000 grant. This is Titus Battle. He worked part-time as a dishwasher and has enrolled in college.
I was making $80 payments, and about 3 months into it, I realized that I wasn't paying anything toward the money that was borrowed.
With a Lighten Up Program, he can consolidate his loans and pay them off all in a year.
We cut a check to pay off the payday lender, and you're done with them.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, but across the U.S., programs like Lighten Up Loan face a daunting challenge. In Alabama alone, there are more than 300,000 people searching for instant loans every day.
The average loan is $300. Now then, tell me what impact they're going to make with $25,000.
It's only the beginning, supporters say, of an uphill battle, but one that an increasing number of faith leaders now see as a moral issue that they're willing to take on. For Religion and Ethics News Weekly, I'm Lucky Severson in Birmingham.
We have another story today on poor people trying to protect themselves, in this case from the consequences of a huge new chemical plant under construction in Louisiana. As Judy Valente reports, it's a classic struggle, big industry and the jobs and profits it creates versus poor homeowners getting sick, they say, from air and water pollution. Welcome to Mossville.
On a sweltering Sunday afternoon, three generations gather for a family reunion. Christine Bennett's parents moved to this African-American enclave in southwest Louisiana in the 1940s. They raised 13 children here.
We had all our little stores. We didn't go out of this little area for anything.
Concrete slabs mark the places where houses, businesses, and the post office once stood, giving Mossville the air of a ghost town. Bennett remembers her hometown as a verdant place where residents fished, listened to birds, shared homegrown vegetables, and lived long lives. But that was before the oil, gas, and chemical plants moved in, 15 of them in the past few decades. Now another plant is being built, one that turns ethane into a base chemical found in several consumer products, from plastic bottles to tires to paint. The plant will be the largest of its kind in the world and operated by a South African conglomerate called Sasol.
But once industry started coming in, people's health started failing them. People were afraid of the explosions they were having, and it was no more Mossville.
Faced with the public's health and safety concerns, Sasol responded by offering to pay Mossville's few hundred remaining residents to move away. Sasol's plan underscores a classic economic dilemma: how to balance jobs creation, especially in poorer communities, with environmental and health concerns.
We're looking local first and trying to get as many local people qualified and hired into those long-term permanent positions as we can.
Sasol has promised to hire 500 local residents at its plant. Louisiana has one of the highest unemployment rates in the nation, but this part of the state experienced a nearly 8% job growth in the past year. Environmentalists ask, at what cost?
EPA and the state has given them exemptions to the Clean Air Act to dispose of 10 million pounds of toxins in the air per year.
Retired Army General Russell Honoré heads an environmental group, the Green Army. Honoré says the Sasol plant will also release 14 million gallons of hot production wastewater into the nearby Calcasieu River every day.
It will change the ecosystem in that community. Now, that's why when you go to Mossville, you don't hear that birds. They run out the birds, and now they are running the people out.
In 1998, a federal agency tested the blood of 28 area residents and found high levels of dioxins, chemical compounds that have been linked to cancer, diabetes, and reproductive problems. A 2009 study of 69 residents by a private consultant found half suffered from chronic eye irritation and skin rashes. Two-thirds reported muscle aches, sinus problems, and shortness of breath. Hayes says Sasol has provided regulators with computer models that show its emissions to the air and water will meet or exceed EPA standards.
If you want to write a handbook of how to do what is right in a community or for a community, Sasol has written that handbook.
Still, residents are skeptical.
We're human beings, and we know and we feel like that our human rights are being violated.
Dorothy Felix is a longtime resident and head of the citizen group Mossville Environmental Action Now.
It is sad to know that we are just being moved out without any choice.
When Sasol also announced plans to convert natural gas into diesel and jet fuel at a separate facility, many Mossville residents said they felt they had no choice but to seek a buyout by the company of their homes.
The purpose of the voluntary property purchase program is to give people the opportunity to move. They asked for the opportunity to move, and we worked out a program, the most generous program in history.
Sasol says it is offering property owners who live within a certain radius of its plant $100,000 plus 40% to 60% of the appraised value of their property. Many residents say it's not enough to purchase homes in communities where property values are much higher.
If these people had done a mandatory evacuation, they would have to pay them replacement value for their home. But guess what? This is a voluntary evacuation. And the politicians said, you ought to be glad. Our good friends from South Africa are willing to buy you out at their price.
Still, the company says the majority of owners have accepted the offers. The decision to stay or leave has been particularly traumatic for Mossville's churches.
It was only after the ministers came to us and said, we'd like the opportunity to take our church to a different location, that we started working with them on a monetary value.
Where Truth Tabernacle Pentecostal Church once stood, there is now an empty lot. At its new location, Truth Tabernacle has a spacious sanctuary and large meeting rooms.
I think it was a great opportunity for us to move out of a neighborhood that was diminishing into maybe a more flourishing neighborhood here.
We're probably going from 200 to hopefully 500 here.
The decision whether to move is far more wrenching for Mount Zion Baptist Church. Sasol offered Mount Zion $186,000 for the land, the church, and two substantial brick buildings on its property.
We had some contractors to come in and just look around and say, now, if we had to rebuild, just like we got here now, not add anything, what would it cost? And they said, well, $2 million.
Williams says it's impossible to place a monetary value on the cemetery dating from 1866, where the church's previous pastors and many members are buried. Many residents are also upset that Sasol has received lucrative financial incentives from local and state government. They include a 10-year exemption to paying property taxes worth an estimated $3 billion and a $150 million grant in exchange for building the natural gas to fuel plant.
They've also declared certain parts heavy industrial and have given the company exclusive right to the roads, the public roads, and the public utilities. So in essence, they have created an environment that doesn't look out for the welfare of the people, but look out for the welfare of the company.
One of the last holdouts is Stacy Ryan, here taking a sample of water on his land to have tested. Ryan's eighth of an acre abuts Sasol's property. Because of the construction, his water and electricity have been turned off. He uses a generator, drinks bottled water, and uses rainwater to wash. Access to his home is all but cut off by the construction. He's been unable to get help in even to remove this tree downed in a summer storm from his front yard.
Well, they're taking steps to make things hard for me in an effort to get me off my property. And also, the offers that they did make, it doesn't even amount to the things that I've gone through or what this property's really worth.
Ryan says he suffers from diabetes and kidney problems. He once worked for Sasol and now blames the companies in the area for his and his family's ailments.
I haven't seen a family member outside of two aunts and my grandmother live past their 60s.
Well, two things about Stacy Ryan. One is Stacy's property is not located in the voluntary property purchase area. Second thing is we are in negotiations with Mr. Ryan and his lawyer, and we are very confident that we will be able to reach an amicable settlement soon.
Right now, it seems all but certain the vast majority of Mossville residents will end up leaving eventually, and they will have only memories of their community. For Religion and Ethics News Weekly, I'm Judy Valente in Southwest Louisiana.
Alongside all the official tributes to the recovery of New Orleans 10 years after Katrina, we heard a thoughtful insight. It came from Terrence Blanchard, the great jazz trumpeter whose mother still lives in the hard-hit Ninth Ward.
10 years after the hurricane, there's a lot of great things that have been going on in the city of New Orleans. But at the same time, it's hard to rebuild the city, and we have a long way to go. You know, we have a lot of work to do. You know, my mom lives in the Ninth Ward, and when I drive through that neighborhood, it's hard to see because it's not the same. You know, there are people that are living there, there are people who have come back home, but you can tell people are still struggling from the effects of the hurricane. It is hard to watch, but it's the reality of our life. And the good side of it is that a lot of people are moving forward and trying to find some positive things in their life. One of the things that have kept us all together is our faith. You know, I was amazed that, you know, my mom, you know, in the aftermath of the hurricane, when we found her and we brought her to L.A. and we put her in our own apartment for like a couple of months, the thing that was amazing was to watch her and her church members have like fellowship over the phone. You know, that was like an amazing thing to see. And that faith has kept people strong throughout all of this. People started to realize we only have each other. We only have family. We only have our communities. We only have our faith. Those are the things that keep us moving forward and keep us strong. That was a huge lesson for us to learn. And thankfully, you know, there are a number of people who still believe that and are still holding on to that.
Our full interview with Terrence Blanchard about race, music, and his Buddhism is on our website. Civil rights leader Amelia Boynton Robinson died this week at the age of 104. She was often called the matriarch of the voting rights movement. Boynton Robinson was a key figure in the 1965 Selma March and the widely published images of her being beaten by Alabama state troopers are considered a catalyst in the passage of the Voting Rights Act. There's been an outpouring of good wishes for former President Jimmy Carter after he announced that he has brain cancer. People spoke of his courage and his grace. Last Sunday, Carter taught his Sunday school class as usual. Earlier, he had said he was surprisingly at ease.
I've had a wonderful life. I've had thousands of friends, and I've had an exciting and adventurous and gratifying existence. You know, that's in the hands of God, whom I worship, and I'll be prepared for anything that comes.
Jimmy Carter is 90 years old. That's our program for now. I'm Bob Abernethy. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and watch us anytime on the PBS app for iPhones and iPads. There's also much more on our website where you can listen to or watch every program. Join us at pbs.org.
Major funding for Religion and Ethics News Weekly is provided by the Lilly Endowment, an Indianapolis-based private family foundation dedicated to its founders' interest in religion, community development, and education. Additional funding also provided by Mutual of America, designing customized individual and group retirement products. That's why we're your retirement company.
Be more. PBS.